God, the merciful, the compassionate, hello and welcome to Peer Home with me, Sahar Haqdu. Well, today we are celebrating the 12th day of Ramadan, and despite the long, hot days, Muslims around the globe are still going strong. We wish them more perseverance, more strong faith, and self-restraint to go on the rest of this month. And on that note, today we'll be discussing the psychology of Ramadan. Of course, we'll have other segments that will keep you interested. We'll have from here and there a clip, a report, and much, much more. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for this episode of Pure Home.
Oh Allah, on this day, beautify me with covering and chastity. Cover me with the clothes of contentment and chastity. Let me adhere to justice and fairness, and keep me safe from all that I fear. By your protection, oh, the protector of the frightened.
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're delighted to have Dr. Sayed Mohsen Fatemi with us to discuss the psychology of Ramadan. Hello and welcome to the program, Dr. Fatemi.
Thank you.
Dr. Fatemi has done his postdoctoral studies at Harvard University. He teaches in the Department of Psychology at Harvard University, and he's taught in other institutions, including the University of British Columbia, as well as the graduate Boston School of Psychoanalysis. He's also a registered psychologist and a keynote speaker at a number of international congresses. He's a published author, as well as conducting seminars and workshops. And he's also recently been selected as part of the advisory and editorial board of the APA Encyclopedia of Critical Psychology. Again, welcome to the program. It's an honor to have you, as usual. How's Ramadan going? Long,
Thank
hot
you.
Days?
It's going fine.
Yeah, it's going okay, good. Because, you know, we're seeing a lot of people, you know, we're enjoying it. We are, you know, the self-restraint and that the whole struggle is definitely, I think it's enjoyable somewhat. I mean, we feel like we are being satiated as far as we're getting stronger day by day. But, you know, those long, hot days are a little challenging nonetheless. So let's get right into the psychology of Ramadan. And what are some of the features of the psychology of Ramadan?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you want to classify the features of Ramadan in terms of psychological analysis, you can classify them in the following manner. And right at the top, it stands the month of forgiveness, so that you can forgive yourself, and as you forgive yourself, you liberate yourself from the manacles of all kinds of counterproductive, negative types of thoughts, mm-hmm. the automatic thoughts that are going to demolish you, and as a result of that, you feel depressed and desperate or something. So one of the big outstanding salient features of the month of Ramadan is the possibility of liberating yourself from all these hue and cries and bombastic outcry of negativity that may attack you from a wide variety of perspectives.
So leading to hope, basically.
Yeah, and it just basically leads to hope, and as a result of that hope, you can see yourself emancipated. So the power of emancipation lies in the month of Ramadan. As you go and get yourself more indulged in the possibility of having hope, you can see options right in front of you. So no matter what your past has been, what your problems have been in the past, or whatever you have been exposed to in terms of encumbrances or something, the month of Ramadan bestows upon you the possibility of liberating yourself from the manacles of all types of demolishing, annihilating mm-hmm. thoughts or something. You know, sometimes people feel paralyzed, and as a result of that paralysis, their analysis goes wrong because they say mm-hmm. to themselves that, well, there's no possibility for me, there's no future, there's no horizon of hope or something. The month of Ramadan is going to help you out with this process in the sense that it helps you out with a saliently positive process so that you can get yourself illuminated by the sparkle of hope. And as you get yourself imbued and soaked in hope and, you know, positive types of thinking or something, you see yourself flying over the finite borders of yourself, and you experience the infinite possibility of becoming. So the other thing about the month of Ramadan is the transcendental process of becoming somebody new. Mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about two types of self, the first self, the second self. The first self is somehow attached to mundane, banal layers of reality, and as a result of that, we just see ourselves overwhelmed by preoccupation from here and there, and those preoccupations do not allow us to experience a real transcendental process of becoming. But once we experience that process of the second self, which is associated with, well, in addition to what you think about in terms of your body, there's also the pearl of your spirit. And if you're not taking care of the pearl of your spirit, you're not going to be nourished. And as a result of that lack of nourishment, you know, depression comes, alienation comes, loneliness comes, self-desperation comes,
and
a sense of emptiness is going to emerge as well. But once you have this type of proactive thoughts, embracing in the entire parts of your realm of possibility, the possibility of yourself is going to unfold right after the other one. So the month of Ramadan is going to offer everybody an infinite horizon of possibility of becoming. And it's like taking a shower. When you take a shower and you feel exhilarated, you feel refreshed or something, and that sense of freshness comes not just for the body, but also for the soul in terms of the month of Ramadan.
Because the shower is blessings, right? The blessings,
exactly.
That we're told that,
and,
that Satan is very limited in these months. So I think, like you said, that it basically sets the ground, establishes the ground for us to flourish and to grow.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, as you have probably heard in the hadith and lots of narratives or something, mm-hmm. all doors and avenues mm-hmm. of pandemonium and hell are shut down in the month of Ramadan, mm-hmm. which demonstrates the quintessential comprehensive form of blessings and mercy on behalf of God. And if we appreciate that possibility, if we appreciate that, you know, this infinite possibility of the realm of munificence, benevolence, compassion, kindness, and mercy on behalf of God would provide us with a great sense of hope, a great sense of understanding, a great sense of proceeding with our own proactive thoughts. Because one of the things that is going to be excruciatingly painful for everybody in any part of his or her development is the desperation that you think that, well, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing in front of me, there are no options, and because there are no options, well, the future is basically bleak, and we have nothing except hopelessness. Mm-hmm. The month of Ramadan is providing you with the panacea of, you can always be hopeful, and you should never ever lose your heart, because losing your heart and despairing is to turn your back on God. So the month of Ramadan provides us with resources, and one of these resources is illuminating parts of the month of Ramadan, in which you can always develop yourself and you can always go for other people's development. If we want to talk about the month of Ramadan in terms of the taxonomy of the features and blessings, we can classify them into two parts, interpersonal and intrapersonal. Mm-hmm. The interpersonal part is that you see yourself at the mercy of all these positive, illuminating, hopeful, types of thoughts, and as a result of that, you go through what I call the emancipation of self.
This is the interpersonal?
This is the intrapersonal.
Interpersonal, okay.
And the interpersonal is that in regards to your relationship with everybody, your neighbors, your spouse, your kids, your landlord, whoever is going to somehow communicate with you, mm-hmm. you see yourself mm-hmm. opening up, expanding the possibility, and I call this ontological expansion, which means that you get yourself expanded ontologically. Sometimes you get yourself expanded epistemologically. For example, you go to school, you learn a lot of things, your cognition goes up, mm-hmm. and as a result of those degrees and credentials, you see yourself developed and expanded. But sometimes you get yourself expanded ontologically, which means that your being is going to be experiencing a transformation, a radical transformation, and that radical transformation is going to be tantamount to an ontological possibility. You see yourself basically somebody else, and that somebody else is not a matter of cognition, is not a matter of feeling, is not a matter of affect, or is not just a matter of emotion, it's a matter of, you are radically transformed. It's a revolutionizing process. Deep down, your personality, your perspective is going to change. You got a shift of perspective, you got a shift of understanding, you got a shift of attitude, a shift of behavior, and all of them are embodied and manifested in the month of Ramadan. So we can talk about Ramadan as the month that helps you and gives you the possibility of a revolution inside self in terms of interpersonal and interpersonal, you experience a sort of revolutionizing perspective. Mm-hmm. Through that revolutionizing perspective, everything is going to demonstrate itself to you from a new perspective, and you notice new things that you may not have noticed so far, and therefore your mindfulness goes up, as we have discussed in advance, in connection with all these kind of things. So what I'm trying to say is that ontological expansion is the conspicuous manifestation of the month of Ramadan. Therefore, as we go through the slope of the month and we somehow embrace the peak of the month of Ramadan, at the end, mm-hmm. in the Eid and in the feast of Ramadan, you see yourself sort of dressed up in a new ontological format.
Especially after the Qadr nights, the Laylat al-Qadr nights.
And you know, that's one of the things, and thank you for reminding that, mm-hmm. because the nights of Qadr, you know, which are called the revitalization nights, mm-hmm. the nights that are going to be revitalizing you, because on the one hand, your faith and your destination is going to be somehow intertwined with those nights, mm-hmm. so that whatever you're going to do in terms of behavior, in terms of action, in terms of, you know, every type of idiosyncrasies that you're going to, you know, see yourself belonging to, those are going to be somehow determined through those nights. And on the other hand, you have the possibility through your power of will or something that you can revitalize yourself through a new understanding, a mm-hmm. perspective that is not going to be, as I said, just a matter of change or a transformation in cognition or in knowledge, but also it's a matter of an ontological expansion. You see yourself ontologically different. Existentially, you see yourself radically transformed. Mm-hmm. And that radical transformation of existence is going to give you the possibility of going up the ladder, you know, going up and superseding the angels, the status of angels. You know, a cougar is a cougar always. An elephant is an elephant. But the month of Ramadan gives everybody the possibility that no matter what your fate has been so far, no matter what kind of past you've had
like
so far, no matter what types of beliefs you've had, you know, no matter what kind of package you've carried so far, you're always having this possibility of getting yourself revitalized. And right now, this is an opportunity for you. Here's the window. You can look from this window, through this window, and get yourself existentially changed. And that existential change is going to be associated with changes and transformation in your character, in your behavior, in the overall aspect of your life.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I think we didn't speak about intrapersonal, but we'll go and we'll listen to our story, and then we'll come back and
sure,
expand
I can say,
on that
yeah,
a little bit.
Good.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so we'll be back.
Housing as big as needed. Prophet, peace be upon him, was walking in a street. He saw a large building. He asked the companions, "What is this?" They answered, "This building belongs to one of your followers." He waited for a while there. The owner of the building came and said hello. The Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't answer him and turned his face back. It was repeated a couple of times. The man saw the signs of rage in the Prophet's face. He asked the Prophet's companions about the reason. They answered, "The Prophet, peace be upon him, saw your luxurious building and asked us to whom it belonged. We said that it belonged to you. That is why he's angry." The man realized the reason why the Prophet, peace be upon him, was so angry. Then he went and destroyed the building as soon as possible. Later, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was passing that street again, but he didn't see that building. He asked, "What happened to the building?" His companions told him the story. The Prophet said, "On the Day of Judgment, people will be asked about their housing unless it is as big as they need."
Back to the program. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking about the psychology of the month of Ramadan with Dr. Fatemi here. And before the break, we spoke a little bit about basically this month is the foundation of a rebirth. You get a chance to revive yourself and to forget about your past, basically constructive criticism for yourself. You don't put yourself down, all the sins that you have committed throughout the year, you get a new chance to make up for them and to become a new person. We talked about interpersonal development, the implications of the personal development, and then now we want to speak a little bit about intrapersonal.
Yeah, the interpersonal and intrapersonal parts are moving together. So the intrapersonal part begins with a new understanding of yourself, your new self-awareness, self-management, emotional management, understanding the power that you've got towards your own progress or something. I give some examples for the interpersonal part too. You know, one of the things that happens to everybody is just when you deal with your emotions, how would you deal with them? Are you going to be abducted by them? Are you going to be kidnapped by them? Or are you going to have the possibility of managing your emotions? The month of Ramadan is the best manifestation of emotional management in the sense that when you're fasting, you go home, you've got everything right in front of yourself. You've got peaches and apples, banana, cucumber, everything. You've got water. Mm-hmm. But you have this sort of commitment. You say that, "I choose not to have the foul."
Self-restraint.
You know, the self-restraint or self-management. And as a result of that self-management, you've got all these possibilities right in front of you. You can have them. You know, there's no sort of external power that incarcerates you or imprisons you or deprives you from having access to, you know, some of them or any of them. But in the meantime, you say to yourself, "I choose not to do the following." And this power of understanding the choices, this power of understanding that, well, I have the power not to do this, or I choose not to, for example, abide by the following. This is going to be characterized in the month of Ramadan in the most glorious manner, because everybody has got this chance that, you know, when you have self-management, you basically try to be the captain of your ship. And the month of Ramadan, through fasting, through, you know, all kinds of rituals that you do, allow you to practice this self, you know, this part of self-management. So you see that, for example, when you explain the blessings of Ramadan, it's not just a matter of not having or drinking or something. It's just about your, you know, speaking, it's about your behavior, it's about your relationship, all of them. So backbiting is going to be a great sin, you know, in the month of Ramadan. Slandering, you know, is going to be another sin. Talking behind people's back is going to be another sin. In one of the hadith from Imam Ali, alayhi salam, he says that, how would you call yourself that you experience fasting where you go, for example, talk behind people's back, or you slander, or you do aspersion, or you go and do destructive, for example, things for people, or you make mischief, for example, among people or between people. So it demonstrates that the month of Ramadan is not just going to be performing itself in a series of appearance-oriented forms, but deep down it goes for changes, it goes for challenges, it goes for rectification. It goes for possibility of changing things from a new perspective.
I mean, I think basically what you're doing is you're fighting all temptations, all worldly temptations. I mean, you're eating, you sleep. I mean, well, you can sleep, but eat, drink. Mm-hmm. Actually, sleep is a form of praying, they say, yeah, in the month of Ramadan. But all that stuff that basically they're temptations that you want to do and you stop yourself.
But I'd rather say instead of fighting, which mm-hmm. is a great word to use,
struggling,
it's just a matter of managing all of them. Mm-hmm. So, and this is the apex of self-construction. Mm-hmm. This is the apex of self-revitalization that, you know, when you fight, mm-hmm. it is true that you fight, mm-hmm. but the month of Ramadan allows you that right at the end of your fighting, the so-called fighting, you don't feel bad about yourself. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you got this excruciatingly painful experience that you want to do something, you don't do it, and this feeling of bitterness or animosity against yourself is going to emerge. And as a result of that, you see yourself overwhelmed by the flux of all those implicit demonstration of those temptations which try to be manifesting themselves. But in the month of Ramadan,
the other way around, right?
Yeah,
you feel satiated.
You feel insatiated, exactly. And you feel glorified because you say, well, it's like your power of will, your power of choices are going to transpire in the month of Ramadan. You know, when you try or make a decision to read a book, and you say, well, I'm going to read, for example, 2 pages of this book, and you go and succeed in doing this, your feeling towards yourself is going to be different mm-hmm. from the previous one, because right now you practice, you exercise your power of choices. Now, when in the month of Ramadan, you wake up, you know, at dawn, and then you just do whatever the rituals are, and then you practice the self-management in the entire parts of the day, mm-hmm. you see yourself practicing your power of choices. So you basically have got all resources from the material, sensual, sexual, all of them, right in front of you, and you can take it upon yourself to go and do it, or you can take it upon yourself not to do it. Mm-hmm. And this power that you say to yourself, well, I choose not to go and take it upon myself, to do it, is going to glorify, mm-hmm. you know, that understanding of practicing your power of choices. And this is of such a precious, you know, demonstration in terms of people self-management. Mm-hmm. People often feel that, you know, I'm not able to do this. What am I supposed to do with this one? What if, for example, I come across this dungeon, this prison of desperation, hopelessness, all of them? And the month of Ramadan is a great avenue, is a great resource of allowing you to experience phenomenologically in the sense that you just see this into yourself, you know, into the realm of your own possibilities. There's a difference between understanding and knowing in this sense, because you may read a lot of books about Ramadan, you may know a lot of hadith about Ramadan, but it's not a matter of understanding.
Right?
When you get it understood, you ontologically, as I said, and phenomenologically experience this process. You get yourself imbued and soaked in the process, and as you get this flavor, this redolence, this fragrance of self-management, you see how powerful you are in terms of your creational capabilities. So the achievement drive is going to be well embedded within this, because, you know, if I tell you, for example, imagine a camel, for example, with 4 elephants right now, you can just do the imagination or any other imagination, mm-hmm. whether it's rudimentary or conventional, etc. Mm-hmm. The month of Ramadan allows you that through your power of imagination on the one hand, and through the power of your intellectual understanding, through your own wisdom, you can get them combined, and as a result of that, you can get them demonstrated through your own choices.
And now you said management. I mean, I think, okay, yes, from dawn until sunset, basically, we're struggling and we're managing these feelings, and we're not doing all the things that we want to do. How about for people who overdo it after, once they break their fast, and then they're eating constantly, and basically, are they undoing all the things they did throughout the day, or?
No. Are you saying that, for example, right after the fasting, they eat a lot and they have from a medical perspective, you know, physicians always recommend that, when you go ahead and wind up this process, it's not prescribed to go on, for example, scarf out and have got a lot of these things, you know, into your own plate or something, mm-hmm. because that indulgence is going to be detrimental for your own health in terms of the medical part. So physicians always recommend and prescribe that. Make sure that, for example, you begin your you begin your breakfast with dates or something, mm-hmm. and then you've got some tea or something, and then do not get yourself, you know, indulge in an exaggerant, you know, form of eating or something, because it's going to be hurting yourself. But even if we take that into account and we go in a hypothetical situation based on what you were saying, mm-hmm. that there might be some people who might just go ahead and have got this extravagant, for example, form of eating or something, that is not going to be nullifying. Mm-hmm. That is not going to be negating or ruling out all those features which we just talked about, because, you know, they had their own practice. Now they've got their own field of experience. You know,
short recess, and then they get back into the struggle again.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of practicing, and every single hour, every single moment of that practice is going to provide them with an understanding of how me and I and self are correlated with one another. Mm-hmm. Every hour and every single is going to tell them that, well, in terms of my understanding, in terms of my possibility, in terms of my resources, how can I go ahead with the power of my choices? You know, nothing is more invaluable than understanding the power of your choices through the month of Ramadan. Because, as I said, you're not going to be in a prison or something. You're not going to be in a dungeon or something. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to deprive you of having your resources. You've got everything that you wanted to have. But in the meantime, you, through this power of choice, mm-hmm. tell yourself that I choose not to do the following, or I choose to do the following. Mm-hmm. And that is so invaluable for people who talk about a transcendental part of consummating self through the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll go for a break. When we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Welcome back to the program. Well, now it's time for From Here and There with my colleague, Farhad Bafoju. He has lots of interesting, informative pieces for us. We like to hear what our viewers say, and of course, an informative book. So let's see what you have for us today.
Thank you very much, Ms.
You're
Farhad.
You're very welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this part of the show, From Here and There with me. Today, I have picked an interesting article on yet another achievement made by Iranian scientists. Well, researchers in Iran's Royan Institute for Biotechnology Research have developed a new technique that speeds up cloning protocols. The method was designed to stimulate the speed and improve the efficiency of the former cloning procedures to facilitate the production of recombinant proteins and organs for xenotransplantation. But what is xenotransplantation? Well, it's a transplantation of living cells, tissues, or organs from one species to another. The research team examined the newly designed technique through cloning and transfer of 50 embryos at the Royan Institute. According to the achieved results, non-pregnancies were positive, which is the highest reported rate in the world. Welcome back. Today I'm going to introduce to you the book Salat, The Mode of Divine Proximity and Recognition. The book is written by Ayatollah Mirza Mahdi Isfahani. The book contains 11 chapters, each of which discusses one aspect of the importance of praying. Some of the topics discussed in the book include the importance of Salat and meeting Allah, purity and essential condition, humility, modesty, and concentration in Salat, invocation in prayers, and innate recognition of Allah and its role in Salat. This book will definitely help you learn more about the importance of praying. Well, and now, like always, it's time for your emails. Hamid has written to us from London. Hello, Pure Home. I watch your program nearly every Sunday. There's a question that I have been thinking about, and I thought maybe you can answer it. I want to know if a person is a good person throughout his or her life, and the rest of his question is, but does not believe in God, will he or she go to hell? Thank you and continue good work. Hamid from London. Well, that's a very tough question. I personally think that there's a very strong positive correlation between lack of belief in God and having weak and fragile moral principles in your life. But I think here Dr. Fatim is more qualified to provide the best answer to your question. So please, Dr. Fatim, what do you think?
Well, I think this question needs to be deconstructed in a more constructive manner. And the deconstruction is that sometimes people may not superficially believe in God, but deep down they believe in God. And as a result of that, we cannot say that they're not believers. Because as Quran says, فَتْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْغَيِّمُ لَا تَبِيلَ لِخَلْقَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْغَيِّمُ. Everybody, every human being, deep down in his nature or her nature, is inextricably, ineluctably tied to understanding, acknowledging, ascertaining God. So this is a cry. This is a sort of voice that is well embedded in everyone's nature, regardless of age, color, geography, you know, so many other things that people have. And if somebody undertakes some sort of action, which is tantamount to some sort of virtue or something, he or she is ineluctably and inextricably tied to the quintessential infinite layers of blessings of God. But he or she may not necessarily acknowledge that. There are lots of occasions that, for example, you try to be good to yourself or to people around yourself, and that action of good comes from what source? The source is from the transcendental part, the transcendental aspect of existence, and as a result of that, that cannot be explained through, you know, issues in the mundane layers of life. So to wrap up the answer, a person who undertakes any action of good, he or she is ultimately tied himself or herself to the realm of God. Maybe superficially he's not aware of that, but deep down he can acknowledge. And there might be occasions that when he goes back to himself, he just hears this voice that tells him what to do and what not to do. And that voice of consciousness, is well connected to his or her nature, which is ultimately connected to the presence of God.
If I could just add, I think also the fact that the person is asking, will I go to hell, shows that they have a belief in heaven and hell, which means, again, going back to God. So if you're doing good and you're being good to other people, you're doing good to yourself, and you believe in morals, you obviously have morals and scruples, I think that at that point, you just haven't had the religion, the rituals of religion, and I think at that point, God would probably help that person to
find that path, I think,
right?
I can't forbear adding this point that sending people to heaven or God, to heaven or hell or something, sometimes is done by a lot of people through the superficial understanding of, you know, you go to hell or you go to heaven or something, is not a God-oriented form of action.
That's true.
When you look at, you know, behavior and attitude of Prophet salawatullah alayhi, you can see that the language of Prophet is overflown with the language of mercy, the language of grace, the language of blessing. So Islam is not excluding anybody, is including everybody. It's open to everybody, regardless of age, color, and so many other things that people might have.
So I can say that from what you say, we are naturally born to believe in God, even if we don't acknowledge our belief in God, right?
Yeah, and based on our nature, everybody is tied to God.
And if we do good deeds, as person who sent the email, so probably we are following the principles that God has instructed us to be doing.
Exactly.
So that means we subconsciously or unconsciously believe in God Almighty.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, that's it for this edition. For more updates, you can log on to our website at english.sahartv.ir, and also you can send us your comments and suggestions to peerhome@sahartv.ir. Thanks for watching. Back to you, Ms. Abju.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bafaju. Now we'll go and look at a clip together, and of course we'll be back. Thank you.
Western angels are singing a paean of praise.
Well, we're basically ending our discussion about the psychology of Ramadan with Dr. Fatemi. And our final question is, how do you see the role of fasting in expanding human capacities?
Yeah, that's a good question. You see, people may be oblivious of their capacities because of a lot of reasons. So, for example, you may not be aware of the fact that you have the capacity to undertake such and such activity, or external factors may have impeded the process of understanding your capacities. The month of Ramadan is a great opportunity for everybody to understand and explore how this capacity building approach can be taken into account. So for example, when you look at conflict resolution or teamwork, for example, or self-management or emotional management or self-awareness, all of them have got resources deep down our personality. Because of external conflicts, such as, for example, people around you that may not allow you to go through this process of development, or internal factors, you may not see yourself capacitated. You may not see yourself empowered. So the month of Ramadan is rife with opportunities and resources that allow you to experience self-empowerment. And this self-empowerment is going to happen because you understand and acknowledge what is it that disempowers you, what is it that prevents you from looking into yourself. Your fear, for example, fear of rejection, fear of being disliked by people around yourself, fear of getting endorsed by people around yourself, fear of peer group pressure. All these fears are going to somehow prevent you from exploring your real self. And the month of Ramadan tells you how you can manage these fears, how you can overwhelm yourself through this infinite possibility of a rapture, exhilaration, revitalization in all of them.
So I think the something you pointed out at the beginning of the program, you said basically being constructive and not putting yourself down. If you have sins, if you have made mistakes, to be able to forgive yourself. I think that's huge, to be able to basically self or constructive criticism for yourself, if you will.
Because you acknowledge that mistake is a part of life. Everybody makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. And the month of Ramadan is a great opportunity for everybody that, you know, the month of forgiveness. You just forgive yourself, ask God for forgiveness, appeal to God for forgiveness, and as a result of that, the showers of blessing would provide you with opportunities. But it has a condition, and the condition is that deep down your own self, you have to be really sorry, you have to be really feeling some sort of regret or remorse, you know, and pitiful about what you've done and what you've committed. And as a result of that, that feeling is going to open up the avenues. But that feeling is going to, again, give you the power of understanding your capacity, understanding your empowerment. People are going to feel disempowered, paralyzed, desperate, demolished, and annihilated as they go through these negative self-counterproductive thoughts. And the month of Ramadan is helping them to challenge those thoughts, to replace them with positive, hopeful-oriented thoughts so that they can get themselves out of all these abyss and hackneyed of prison of self and experience that possibility that gives them a new capacity. And the good thing is that capacities are not finite. Capacities are infinite. You know, when you think about material objects in a perceptible world, you can see all these capacities and you can say that their capacities go, well, ad infinitum, but again, it has a border.
Or human probably being, tapping into a very, very small percentage of our capacity.
Exactly, or a percentage of that capacity is going to unfold itself in the process of that becoming a letter, for example, something else. But in terms of human capacities, these capacities are infinite. These capacities are so vastly expansive that people, as I said, through this ontological existential expansion, they can go and experience how this capacity is going to provide them with salvation, liberation, emancipation, and the glory of their choices.
Beautifully put. Well, on that lovely note, we hope that everybody throughout this holy month of Ramadan, that they can basically tap into their human capacities, use this time to empower themselves, to strengthen themselves, and to go on and learn. And then Laylatul Qadr, the nights of revivation and revitalization, I think we said.
Revitalization.
Yeah, for those nights, to use those nights and to truly, truly determine the rest of their year as being prosperous and full of blessings. Thanks so much for being with us. And also, we are sorry we didn't get to go for our report today. It was about Barberry bread, which is actually used widely in Iran, but maybe we'll do that next week. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, go online and check out our programs, english.sahartv.ir, and do send us your comments, purehome@sahartv.ir. Thanks so much for inviting us into your pure home. Thank you, Dr. Fatemi.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time. Goodbye and God bless.